Hello and welcome into the Lockdown Wolves podcast. We are live following the Timberwolves' victory over the Miami Heat on Monday night. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break down the win. The Lockdown Wolves podcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves Postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Lockdown Wolves podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Lockdown Wolves. Marnie Gellner of Bally Sports North is with us to talk through the Wolves' win over the Heat. And Marnie, it feels a little bit like we're on repeat with the Wolves winning a close game that probably shouldn't have been that close. But this one felt a little bit different. Where do you want to start with this one?
Yeah, I mean, the difference was the Wolves didn't build a huge lead and then have to hold off a charging team. And it always kind of feels better, I feel like, when you end on the high note. So I guess if you dig yourself a hole and then you are the charging team, it just somehow feels better. So we'll go with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that was very different, right? The last three games, the Wolves, all shorthanded teams, all teams that the Wolves built big leads against and then had to hang on for dear life at the end. And this one was the exact opposite, like you said, where the Wolves were actually down 15 to a Heat team that was missing, you name it, except for Kyle Lowry. And I guess they had Bam Adebayo too, but, you know, missing a ton of guys, only had eight players that actually saw the court playing on the second night of a back-to-back. And yet the Wolves found themselves down 15. My biggest takeaways related to how the Wolves fell behind were, number one, energy. Just wasn't playing very hard. We heard Mike Anori say it at halftime. Basically, just there wasn't hustle to loose balls, to defensive rebounding, getting back in transition. I think they were, fast break points were 18-2 in the first half in favor of Miami. So hustle was one thing, energy, however you want to frame it. And then offensive execution against the zone. And as it turns out, both of those things were much better in the second half. And all of a sudden, the game was a lot more, the Wolves gained all that ground back. They were a plus 18 in the third quarter. So I think both of those things were corrected almost immediately in the third quarter, and it was huge.
Yeah, and a big part of it was just simply missing shots, because Miami played a lot of zone. So that meant there were a decent amount of outside shots for the Timberwolves. They missed at one point 12 in a row to end the first half. 3 for 26 when Karl Anthony Towns missed the first three-pointer of the second half. So that made him 3 for 26. And then it was Jaden McDaniels who finally made one. And then the Wolves finished 14 of 47, I want to say, yeah, from three. But overcoming that, I mean, 12 straight misses to close out the half from three was just dreadful, and they weren't bad looks. So I agree with everything you said, and could not hit a three-point shot in that first half, and that added to the problem, and there was your 13-point deficit at halftime that you have to dig out of.
Yeah, exactly. Missing open threes, yes. And obviously that's how you beat a zone, right? Everybody knows that, is you have to make shots. They also, it seemed like the passing got a lot crisper in the third quarter, and I think part of that was, like, honestly think a big part of beating a zone and having crisp passing and not turning the ball over is it goes hand in hand with energy. It's just, you know, instead of saying, you know, it's easier to stand here and then shoot a contested three or dribble into the teeth of the zone, but crisp passing, you know, passing to the, you know, to the elbows and back out to the perimeter and skip passes. We saw a lot of sloppy skip passes early in the game, multiple guys guilty of that. The turnovers went down, the open shots started getting made. They had 12. Yeah, you said 12 three-point misses in a row. And then Jaden McDaniels, I think, was the one that broke the streak. And then Anthony Edwards hit one kind of midway through the third quarter. And there was this really great sequence where after Anthony Edwards had got a technical foul, there were some questionable calls mixed in there, sure. But then it was Ant gets the big block on Max Strus. He comes back, hits the step back three on the other end. Then Jordan McLaughlin hits a couple of threes. He hits the go-ahead three. The Wolves get up by a possession. And from that point forward, it was a close game. But the Wolves at least felt like they were in it. Like the energy was there. They were making the open shots, like you said, and went from being 3 for 25 at one point from three to, you know, obviously shooting 30% for the game isn't great, but that means that they made what, 11 of their last 22 threes. So they shot 50% to close the game. And you know, that's pretty much what happened. But I think all of the, all those things together in the third quarter is what got the Wolves back into this thing and then at least allowed them to play the Heat close down the stretch.
Yep, and you mentioned Jordan McLaughlin, and I thought his play was just huge. He was so steady and calm, and he had not been shooting well from three this season at all. You would never know it by the way he played tonight and shot the three. 4 of 5, that's a career high. Three was his career high coming into this, and he made 4 of them tonight, and they came in huge moments. 3 of them were in that third quarter, and he just plays such a – it's weird to say steady because he's pushing all the time and flying around for loose balls, yet he has this calmness about him too when it comes to sort of organizing the offense. So I just thought – Jordan McLaughlin's minutes in this and baskets in this, his threes, were huge because the Wolves had to dig out of that hole. And then they did, once they got rolling, because they were at home and because fans were so, I don't know if it was bored or rocked to sleep or whatever in the first half, they were just waiting, like begging, give us something. We're ready to blow. And they did. I mean, those shots started falling, and Target Center was electric on a Monday night against a half-depleted Miami Heat team, but they just wanted to see their team get rolling. So when they finally did, it was like this big ball coming down the side of a mountain that had all this energy to it once they finally could corral it.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works, right? It's a bit of a chicken or the egg situation with the crowd energy, right? Like the team's like, why won't the crowd get into it? But when the team plays well, the crowd gets into it. And We saw that exactly that in the second half of this game. The bench in general giving energy. You mentioned Jordan McLaughlin. Obviously, he's one of the stories of this game. He was shooting 12.5% from three coming into the game, made 4 of his 5 3-point attempts. And I'm sure that number now is going to be much higher. But the bench in general played well. I mean, Jalen Noel, this is one of the rare games where, like, if you looked at the box score, like we talked about this the other day, I believe, after the game, is that you always know when Jalen Noel's in the game. He leaves his mark on the game. Yeah. He's like a bullet of China shop. You know when he's attacking. And if you looked at the box score, you'd say, yeah, he was 0-4 from 3, 2-7 from the floor, only played 9 minutes. But he had some strong minutes in the first half when things were kind of teetering for the Wolves. He didn't do as much in the second half. But I thought he played – it was one of the few games we've seen him play well when he didn't actually have an efficient scoring night. And Torian Prince was pressed into 30 minutes of play. He was actually 4th on the team, or I guess 5th on the team in minutes in this game because of mostly because of foul trouble to Karl Anthony Towns. He was playing a lot of 4. But I thought the bench unit as a whole was solid for the Wolves in this one.
Yep, and without Kyle Anderson, because he had back issues again tonight. So he missed the first or a handful of games at the start of the season because of back spasms, and then he was a late scratch tonight. So all the more reasons why the Timberwolves needed that bench. And it was just, it was a weird night. Like D'Angelo Russell just didn't have anything going. He hit a big basket down the stretch, and then Rudy Gobert did not attempt a field goal in this game. That is a shocking number. We were looking it up during the game, Rebecca Brunson and I. We had to go back to Rudy's rookie season since he had played a game where not attempting a field goal. When the Wolves were in Phoenix earlier this season, he went 0-for-1, but he did have that one attempt. And then tonight he had almost a field goal attempt, but he was fouled on it in the fourth quarter. But I get it that Miami was playing a lot of zone, but I mean, that's just a shocking statistic that he would not have attempted a field goal. Then he goes to the free throw line and hits 4 massive free throws to help ice it. What a story.
Yeah, it was a weird game for Rudy for all those reasons. But yeah, I don't even think he was close to attempting a field goal. He barely had any touches. He battled on the glass. I thought he had a little bit of a rough game defensively, which we don't say very often about him. But then for a pretty mediocre free throw shooter to hit all 4 free throws after not having shot the ball all night is huge. So I thought that was a really, really great performance down the stretch for Rudy. Let's talk about our title sponsors of tonight's postcast, and that's our friends over at Prize Picks. If you had Karl Anthony Towns over on assists, you would have done really well at Prize Picks tonight. Cat almost came out with a triple-double. We'll talk about him more in a moment. Prize Picks is great. You just pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less points than their Prize Picks projection, or not just points, really any category, rebounds, assists, three-pointers made, free throws made, even obscure categories are there. You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available, and you could do cross-sport matchups. You could have done a Monday Night Football, like Jimmy Garoppolo touchdowns over, plus Cat assists over. You can cross sports. It's awesome. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match again of up to $100. All right. Let's talk about Cat. I thought he had a really good game in this one. This was, it felt a little bit more like a Cat game in the past where he's filling the stat sheet. He's getting the ball a lot more. There's also the foul trouble issue. And then there's the complaining to the officials issue. What's the term we hear all the time? Stray voltage.
Stray voltage. Yeah.
Like it was like almost a throwback Cat in that regard. It was a Cat game. And maybe that's related to Rudy not doing as much. I don't know. It was weird. It was just, he seemed to have the ball a lot more, be a lot more involved. And don't get me wrong. I thought he played extremely well. He probably was the Wolves' best all-around player in this game. Oh, we could talk about Jaden McDaniels too, I guess, would be a contender for that. But
yeah,
Cat put up 25, 9, and 8, was aggressive going to the basket. Outside of the foul trouble, I thought he was active defensively and did a good job. In general, I thought Cat played a really, really strong game.
Yeah, and he had 20 points at halftime. So to finish with 25 is actually a little bit lackluster if you break it down like that. Not a rip on Cat at all, just he really had it going in the first half. He ended up fouling out of this game, and I know there was some stray voltage and some overly energetic reactions, I guess is the phrase I'll settle on, from Carl, which we haven't seen a lot of in the last few weeks. And we did at the start of the season, and then he really got it under control. But it crept out again tonight. And then we had a post-game interview on the court with Carl, and our sideline reporter, Katie Storm, asked him something about, like, what's been the best part of your game lately or what's been working for you? And he just said, finishing through contact, just making shots through a lot of contact. And that was it. He didn't expand on it. He didn't add more. And I feel like that was Carl's way of saying, I'm getting fouled all the time. And that's like the message he was trying to send through that answer. So to your point, Ben, yes, very good game for Carl, kind of a weird game for Carl. But I feel like the emotions started to creep up in him because I think he felt like he was really getting fouled out there and was not getting the calls.
Yeah, I agree. And this was I don't think we've ever talked about officiating on the postcast before, you and I, but this was one of those where we probably, if we wanted to, we could spend a little bit more time on it, but I don't know that I want to go there. But yeah, there were a lot of whistles, maybe not as many as in the Philly game the other night, but it was a challenge the Wolves had to overcome. And I thought for the most part, other than a couple, I think both Cat and Ant had technicals in this game, but it's also kind of what it's weird. We've talked in the past about adversity and the Wolves shrinking when adversity comes up in game in the past. And this was an example, I think, of the Wolves actually kind of it galvanizing them, where they said, look, we feel like, you know, we're getting the short end of the stick when it comes to the calls. You know, Ant gets the technical, like we're going to use this for good. And we don't always see that happen. And I think it's maybe a dangerous game for this team to play, given how emotional they can play at times. But I thought that in this particular game, it worked to their advantage. And speaking of Ant, I think we can close with him. He is another player, right? This is just all around kind of a weird game. Because Anthony Edwards, for the longest time, like I had in my notes, like, man, he's having a rough game. He got beat backdoor defensively multiple times. He had the technical foul. He spent more time complaining, you know. And then again, you look up and you see he has 21 field goal attempts. I guess he shot 12 threes, but he only got to the line once. He had one free throw attempt and it was on a technical. So he didn't actually earn a free throw in this entire game, which is partly because he shot 12 threes, but his other nine attempts were basically all in the paint. So all that to say, he stuffed the box, stuffs the stat sheet, 22, 7, 4, and 4, but had rough moments defensively. And yet he was still such a big part of that third quarter push for the Wolves when they got back into the game and ultimately took the lead.
Yeah, he's been big over the last 3 for sure. And even just to say that is good for Ant, because he has this tendency to kind of, I don't know if it's check out or just become complacent or get tired or, you know, whatever it is, that he can't seem to a lot of times string together multiple games of this high energy, high effort. And say what you want about the first half about everybody across the board. That is a fair criticism. of lack of energy and lack of effort. But for Anthony Edwards to put together that final line, no matter how he got there, and coming off a good final line in Philadelphia, which came off a good final line in Orlando, like that to me is growth and important for Anthony Edwards in his third year. Multiple games, string them together. I don't know if you should have to say that for a third year player, like this is a goal for you to stay engaged, but that is, there's just something about Ant that, and he's very well aware of it. He's the first one to tell you, like, I got to figure out a way to stay up and get up. And a depleted Miami team on a Monday night is a game that doesn't really strike a lot of emotions in a lot of players. So maybe we just say that's actually good. We'll take that as a sign of things pointing in the right direction for Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, that's all we have for you tonight. The Wolves take on the Pacers. They head back out on the road and take on the Pacers on Wednesday. We, of course, go live after every single Timberwolves game. About 45 minutes after the final horn, we're live on Locked On Sports Minnesota. You can also listen to this. If you ever miss it live, you can listen after the fact at all the Locked On Wolves feeds, wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota. Subscribe and follow Locked On Wolves on all audio platforms and YouTube. A big thank you for listening and for watching, and we'll catch you next time.